Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast, two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. I'm Marty Gentius at Kent State University.
And I'm Eric Perry at Southern New Hampshire University.
I don't know how I stumbled across this topic. I just realized there are about four different places I have to check if someone's trying to send me a message or a faculty member's trying to get a hold of me. And so I thought just the general aspect of how does communication occur within your program or within your department? I have had complete struggles with Outlook. The one thing that I like about Outlook as a mail system is that I can pin and I can also flag. So the stuff I need to work on, my to-do list rises to the top. But, you know, I've got a comps exam that I've got to do reviews on coming up after this podcast. And to go back and get the documents, I did a search, could not get the document, and then had to switch to another email to find the document because it's just not visible. Like the emails from that student starts back in November of last year. And so all of this stuff in between is somewhere in Outlook heaven, or purgatory, I guess would probably be better a description of it. So, you know, I'm trying to sort that stuff out and switching back between Outlook and Mail, Apple Mail, but Apple Mail doesn't have the pinning that I like that keeps me on task. So, communication typically is like email, but I'm still trying to settle out with that. So what kind of methods do you currently, we're going to answer two questions in this podcast, at least our opinions on them or our experience of them. What ways do you communicate with other faculty? And then how would you like to change that process? Or are there other apps that you would like to use if you could get everybody else on board? So let's start. Eric, why don't you start with that first question? What ways do you communicate with faculty?
I'll say email is preferred for most. I think unless it's a meeting kind of setting for just, you know, answering and asking questions and having discussion, email is really it. There are others who I text on a pretty regular basis. Very rarely phone calls. In fact, I know faculty who, you know, will tell you, I don't want to talk on the phone. Right? If at all possible, let's text, let's email. My wife, I every time her phone rings, I look at her now and I can see her face, just frustration, right? Because she doesn't want to talk on the phone. And I feel like it's a trend. I actually don't mind every now and then having a conversation. Sometimes I think it's easier. What's been bugging me though, and what's bugged me over the last few years is Teams. Everybody wants to text, but they would rather do it in Teams and monitoring your status and whether you're on or away or what, you know, it's just another layer of management and something else to pop up to check, you know, and the mobile app is, I feel super intrusive. It's just always on, always telling people where you're at and what you're doing. And, you know, I've turned the status function off because I don't know if it's my paranoia or what. But even if your showing is offline, people will message you on Teams as opposed to texting if they need an immediate response and then be shocked that you don't immediately respond when your status shows away. So Teams is one of those things that's kind of driven me nuts over the past couple of years.
I have the luxury of not using Teams. I mean, it is ingrained in our institution's culture. It's the technology platform of choice. People who want to do research and use some sort of video conferencing have to use Teams. They can't use Zoom, which, you know, has got its own issues there. So I don't have to wrestle with Teams except when there is like a college-wide meeting that's called online. Then I have to enter Teams and I have to remember how to do it. I've got different feelings about email. I mean, yeah, email is probably the way that everybody does it. I absolutely hate it. I mean, I've come to hate it because I get tons of email, a lot of it junk. And if for me to have to create an email to do the whole formal thing of setting that up and sending it off and responding to it, I'm not a super fast typer. And it just seems, then I, you know, once I'm able to do that, then I have to organize it and get the emails where I need them on that particular topic. And yeah, I know about tags and all of that stuff, but I can't keep more than four tags in my head at a time. So what good is that? Yeah, there's folders, but there's a lot of stuff you have to do to manipulate all that to get to it. But yeah, email is our primary way of working. Not my favorite. I've already told you about the issues I'm having with Outlook now in terms of finding stuff once I put it in there, and I know it's in there. And so email's not really my thing. There are a couple of faculty that I text message with. And one of them in particular, it's part social and part sometimes it's professional. Like I just got a text message before this about a meeting that we're in the next hour. And you know, she knows she can get a hold of me that way. I try not to use it too much. I try not to pester them outside of a works issue that needs to be addressed right away. I do notice now that they have their notifications set off at in the evening, so they're taking care of themselves. Although I'll send some stuff out and still will hear back from them. But I wouldn't feel comfortable in that kind of text message relationship with everybody in my program. It's just that I don't know them, nor would I expect them to have that kind of that expectation placed on them that we would do text messaging. The piece that I find real frustrating is because of the green bubble, blue bubble thing between Android and iPhones. I can send messages on my iPhone to Android users in groups, but I can't do it on my desktop. And if I'm going to use text messaging, it's so much easier for me to do it on my desktop. But I'm kind of, if there's an Android user in the group, I'm forced to use my phone and my big fat thumbs on tiny little buttons to respond to it. And then you get it out and you go, okay, I got the message out. And then the phone dings again, and you have to respond to that message. And so I'm switching in that environment where I could be typing it. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a fast typist, but it's so much easier to be able to do it on a screen. So yeah, text messaging has its problems. I rarely do phone calls, although if you think about life hacking, a 5-minute phone call can answer all the questions that you have. About a situation where it would take you 30 or 45 minutes to type out an email to answer those same questions. So it's rarely used, much more efficient way of communicating than any of the other methods that we've mentioned so far. But just I don't know what's driving that, why everything's driven so much. Maybe it needs to be a record of what's been said. That's why we shift to email all the time. But I find it extremely tedious.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there. There's definitely some usefulness in having the answer written, but if you can't search and find it, it's not as helpful to have that record. And something I've noticed about, at least on the Outlook app, on mobile, the search really isn't all that effective. And you know, I have a folder management system that I use for emails based on the content and the topic, and you know, it has a hard time finding the same results. And I had to put it through kind of a litmus test and search on mobile and then on the desktop app, and it comes up with different results with the same search, which
Yeah,
doesn't make a sense.
when I don't find something on mobile and I know it's there, it's like, let me go to the desktop and see if I can find it that route. And if I can't find it that route and I still know it's there, then I go to the Apple Mail app and search it and generally find it.
Yeah, I mean, and there's things now that I would use or like to use more often. So I'm still using WhatsApp for some faculty, and I think it's really helpful. It's just something everybody has, and most people have used at one point or another. We've used it at residencies a lot to create groups of faculty who, want to talk to one another. Then, Slack is something that I've used here and there and just wish there was a greater adoption for. It's really useful, and we'll talk more about it, but I think it's something we can really benefit from that gets you out of that team space and has a lot of that same functionality. Something I thought was interesting and didn't know people were doing, but I ran into a friend of mine not too long ago whose faculty are using Discord. And I was shocked, and he said everybody's on it and enjoying it, and he was just as shocked as anybody else to see that they adopted it, which I think is neat, right? Because I wouldn't have thought of Discord on my own, I don't think, just because I don't see it as being a workplace tool, but there's some serious advantages there. I think the only other one that I thought was neat and I wanted to check into was Zoom Workplace. I don't know anybody using it. I don't know what the costs are, but the features seem like they're trying to integrate and emulate some of those Teams features. And I have to wonder if they're a little bit more seamless, if they're a little more user-friendly, than Teams might be.
I would have, if I'm looking at something that I'd change in that process, the difficulty is getting everybody on board with it. I think, WhatsApp is a good messaging system for a lot of reasons, but not everybody is into it or wants to use it regularly. It has mobile versions. It also has desktop versions on all sorts of platforms. So that makes it easy to do messaging, and not have to worry about cross-platform issues. And so that sounds appealing, but as much, there's you've got to have like 90% of the people that are in on it that are willing to make that shift. And then also having to change their habits, their work habits, and their productivity habits. Suddenly they're using WhatsApp. I think Slack is underutilized. It used to be all open, and they've restricted it now to, I think, 9 months of messages. But I always like the idea of having a desktop messenger that also can be used for communicating to other members who are in a team and also being able to share documents in a way. Again, that's a situation where if you're going to use it, you have to get everybody to buy in to use it. And then someone who can kind of set up the channels, do things like that, and realize that anything you put in now, 90 days from now won't be there unless you pay for the full pro service, and that gets expensive per user. And so I don't see universities dumping money into the pro service. But frankly, most of what we communicate disappears in 90 days anyways. If it doesn't or doesn't need, or if it shouldn't, then I think we default to email or should default to email, which is a little bit more permanent in terms of it. But frankly, let's do a meeting on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Here's the Zoom link. That can be as easily sent to the people on Slack than than it is through an email. Easier sent. And for folks who don't want that instant permeability, I don't want these messages popping up. I don't have a problem with a faculty member closing their digital door and saying, I'll take a look at the stuff that comes through later and manage that together. But yeah, I just wish there was more adoption of it.
Yeah, and I think that's really the big challenge, is getting everybody on board when you want to try something. And I think some of these, I could do a demo for Zoom Workplace just to see what it's like, but it's difficult to get a sense for what things look like until you get into a project. And I think what sold me on Slack, Marty, was when you and I used it for a couple of things with ACES, and then pulling it in. and getting some getting some feedback and context on other projects and other uses, I think turned out to be a really good tool. I mean, the program continues to change, but it's pretty similar to how it was 5, 6 years ago in terms of usability. So that's what I would really encourage folks to take a look at.
I know when people get into it, they love it. When they get into it, but they have to get into it first. And again, it's kind of it can be project-based stuff. I've tried to do some professional work projects and use that as a platform, but it's there's you know, you've got to have people who know about it and can be comfortable with it. Everybody wants to default to Google and use the Google platform for a lot of stuff. But as a on your desktop messaging service around projects, and you can do, of course, individual messages to people through it, I think it's really underutilized.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think there's other stuff out there, and I like the Google ecosystem for shared documents and storage, but the messaging platform is clunky. It's never been anything that I found to be really useful. There's compatibility issues. It just hasn't felt as seamless. And I like the infrastructure, the tags that you can use in Slack. The ability to organize information there and to see it, I think looks much cleaner. So I don't know. It's just a preference thing for me, but I think the compatibility issues and some of the differences between the app and the desktop and doing things in browser are enough for me to really prefer Slack.
So I don't know if there are other, maybe we can spend a future episode sometime just talking about Slack. And it's something that you and I wish for, but of course the old saying, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. We can't get folks onto the platform well enough or soon enough in terms of a communication device. So, do you have any other concluding comments, or are we good?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just excited to explore more and take a look at what else is out there. It doesn't seem like there's a ton that would compete with Slack, so it might be a good idea for us to just do a run through for folks.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd have to get back into it. I'm on a couple of Slack groups now with some of the tech podcasts that I'm on. So I'm getting a little introduced to it because but it's not my platform. So I don't want to monkey around with it, although I could and screw things up. Not that I could screw things up, but I mean, screw my reputation up with the people on this platform by playing with their platform. So we'll have more to say about it in future shows. You can email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com. Or call and leave a message at 330-333-1240, and we'll play your question in the podcast and try and get you an answer. So if you've got something you'd like to know more about, or you have a tech idea, get in touch with us and we'll make it part of a show. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. Look for other shows like Circular Firing Squad on the podtalk.net. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast.